Thank you, Lord. God is good all the time. The title of today's message is We Have No King But Jesus. This morning, as I was waking up, I had this phrase, or the sentence, running through me. And it was these words, we have no king but Jesus. And I was still kind of partially awake, wasn't fully awake yet. And I was kind of, my natural mind was thinking, well, no, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture talks about, there's a scripture where Jesus is being accused and Pilate is trying to give opportunity for Jesus to be released. And in John 19:15, the people are saying, no, we have no king but Caesar. In other words, we want this Jesus guy dead because we have no king but Caesar. They were worshiping, serving the earthly kingdom over and above God's kingdom. They didn't want to have anything to do with God's kingdom. They wanted to kill God's kingdom so that they might serve an earthly kingdom. And so they were saying, no king but Caesar. But this morning as I was waking up, I heard the words resonating within me, we have no king but Jesus. And the question is, in our own lives, who are we going to serve? Today is the inauguration day in our nation, where the new president is about to be sworn in. I'm actually recording this message this morning, shortly before the inauguration. And I want to remind us this day that we have no king but Jesus. Let's turn for a moment to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Two things. Jesus loved righteousness and he hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. But that verse 8 there, it talks about the throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And there's other places in Scripture where it talks about Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and his throne will reign forever. I want to remind us today that regardless of the president of our nation, we are called to serve God. Whether that president is President Trump, whether that president is President Biden, whether that president, and we can talk about all the names of past presidents. But in the midst of any presidency, we are called to serve God. And though God does raise up and bring down earthly kings, ultimately we must choose whether it's better to serve God or to serve man. We submit to earthly authorities to the degree that we can do so while still yielding to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So how are we to live? There's one scripture passage that came to mind in regards to this. And I don't think I'm going to go into a lot of depth. For the most part, I'm just going to read this passage. I'm probably going to pull out a few things as we go through. But for the most part, I just want to highlight this passage, and I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider this passage on your own. You can hear this message, but then take this on your own and seek the Lord and ask Him what He is saying to you. This passage that I want to go through is 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8. And we're going to read all the way through chapter 4. They're both kind of short chapters. As we do this, Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts, whatever it is that you want to speak to us individually and corporately. In regards to how we are to live our lives, regardless of what earthly kingship, presidency is set in place. So here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and he preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, and it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, powers in submission to him. Again, we see his kingship. Starting again with the first verse of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Do you hear that? In the midst of trial, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and the God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Can I summarize this here in this verse? It says that we are to commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. Whether Trump is in office, whether Biden is in office, whether any other president or king is set as an earthly leader, let us commit ourselves and our lives to our faithful Creator, and let us continue to do good. Father, open up our eyes, open up our ears. Father, help us every single day to choose you. Among the many choices of things to give our lives to, may we set this day and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, give us grace to not walk out of fear, to not make decisions based upon fear. Father, help us to look like you, to smell like you, to walk like you. Fill us, Father, with the strength, the courage, the endurance, and the perseverance to move forward each day, committing ourselves to you and continuing to do good. I just want to speak over us as in conclusion here. I want to encourage you and strengthen you. Remember who it is that lives within you. That it's not by might, it's not by power, but by its Spirit of God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't walk in your own strength. Humble yourself before the Lord and allow Him to exalt you at the right time. May we be a humble people. May we be a courageous and bold people. May we be a people who love righteousness and hate wickedness. And if we suffer, may it be suffering because of doing good and not because of doing evil. Again, I encourage you to read these passages in 1 Peter 3, verse 8 through 1 Peter 4, 19 that we read here. I encourage you to read them on your own and ask the Lord to speak to your own hearts as to what that looks like in our day-to-day lives. May God bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. Not necessarily peace as the world gives, but the peace that He gives. In this world, you will have trouble. But rejoice and be of good cheer, because He has overcome the world. Keep your eyes upon Him. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't worry about what administration has put in place. But commit yourself to the Lord and continue to do good.